Then I think one game changer was that Katrin showed up and she said, Yumi, you gotta change your gear. This is a Bonfoil, a podcast for everyone flying just above the surface. Pump, carb, soar, let's foil!
Welcome to podcast number 52 of Up on Foil, the podcast where we talk all about foiling. Today with Naomi Shepherd. She's a pump foiler, a pump foil teacher, and she's a team rider of the Surfside Shop, a doctor as well. Gonna get into all of that. We had a session a couple of days ago, which was rainy, but very fun.
Yes.
And I'm Matt, podcaster, I can actually say. Very average foiler, but I enjoy just being on foil. That's why, look, I bought this shirt, foiler
it's
shirt.
Cool.
I really love it.
That's really cool. I like
thanks.
It.
Thank you. And thanks, Naomi, for coming on the show. Is there anything you want to add right away that I forgot to mention?
No, I think you covered it all. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. On your Instagram, you have like a Swiss flag, an American flag, and then it says made in Japan. What is that all about?
So I'm a bit of a mix. My mom is Swiss. She's from the area around Bern. And my dad is American. He's from New Jersey. He lived in Hawaii for a while and then he moved to Japan. And that's where my parents met. And it's where I spent my first few years. So that's the whole
thing. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Do you speak any Japanese or do you used to speak Japanese?
I used to speak Japanese, but we moved to Switzerland shortly before my sixth birthday. And it's a time where you learn languages really quickly, but unfortunately, you forget them quickly as well. So I went to a Japanese Buddhist kindergarten, and Japanese was my best language. But now I can hardly speak anything in Japanese. So it's one of my goals to one day learn it again, but it's a bit of a shame.
Well, you have a lot going on. But have you been back to Japan since? Like on vacation or something?
Yes, only on vacation, but I've been back a few times. And I actually grew up in a town on the coast. It's called Kamakura. It's about an hour south from Tokyo. So I grew up close to the ocean the first few years. And
nice.
It's really beautiful there. So I hope maybe next year that I can go back and visit. And I've also checked out online. There are a few foilers there. It's
very cool.
A spot where Japanese people are doing some downwind foiling and so on. So I think it's sort of one of my ideas. One day, go back and do some foiling and, yeah, be there for a bit. Learn the language.
That is super cool. Let's get into your water sport history. You said you grew up close to the ocean, so you probably have been in the ocean from very young. How did that then continue? Like you moved to Switzerland, not really the biggest water sports place, but still it's possible. Have you done water sports as a kid as well?
No, actually, hardly any. I always loved being in the water, but as a kid, I had a problem with my ear, so I wasn't allowed to do like diving and anything. So I haven't been in the water a lot. And then I think also growing up, it was just not really a focus. Like, I remember being a teenager, I had this phase when I thought, yeah, I want to learn surfing and so on, but it wasn't really in the cards to go somewhere where you can surf. And then I started my studies and everything, and it never really came about. And so I got into water sports really late. I've always been a lover of the ocean. Since I was little, I loved whales and dolphins, and I was super interested in this. And I'm a member of KEMA. It's a sea research and conservation organization. And I've been going on research expeditions with them on a sailing boat. So I've been sailing for a few years, but real sort of board sports on the water, it's only been since I started pump foiling. So pretty
late. How did that happen? Did you see it like online or on the water and saw like, that's something I want to do as well?
I think I've seen somebody wing foiling, like two wing foilers on Lake Thun a few years back. And I thought, looks amazing. But
really?
They were
Did
really
you?
Good.
Okay, if they're good, then yes.
They were really good, and I thought it looks amazing, but I thought something I could never do somehow. And then it was about 2 years ago, I was running along the lakeside here in Zurich, and there's a place where there's a pool, a public pool, with some dogs, and there were people practicing pump foiling. And I was actually not very close to the dock, but I saw them from afar, how they were practicing and how they kept falling into the water. And I just thought somehow some of them were gliding a bit and so on. And I thought it looks so cool. And I thought, well, if that's the way you start, that's something I can do. And I didn't even know what the sport's called. I couldn't go there because they were on the dock. I couldn't talk to them. And it was just instantly, I knew I have to learn this. I have to do it. And I went home and I was researching on the internet, and somehow I figured out it's called pump foiling. And then that's how it started.
So cool. Do you know who was there now, like looking back?
I think it was from the university here in Zurich. They have a sports association where they teach courses. It's called the ASVOZ. And I think it was one of their courses. But
it
I don't
Zeno
know.
There.
Maybe it was Zeno. I don't know who in particular, but one of those guys, I think.
That is so cool. If you see something that looks cool, that is really the way to go. But I remember when I saw wing falling for the first time, I thought, I'm never going to do that. It looks stupid. But this just probably because I saw people who were not good at it just standing around and whatnot. The same with pump foiling. I don't think it looks super good, except for the ones that are really good. But then how did you actually get in touch with them?
So then I found Philip Exner. He has pumpfoilers.ch. He's doing some courses at the lake shore. And I took two classes with him and learned sort of about what's a foil and about the material and so on. And then I also did a few classes with the ASVOZ, actually, where I saw these people. But then it was clear for me pretty soon that I want to get my own equipment and I want to start practicing. And then I just met people on the lakeside and made a lot of friends. And it was actually a time I've been abroad, living in Germany for a few years. And it was a time where I was just coming back to Switzerland. And I didn't have so many friends in Zurich, and I made so many friends in such a short time from different jobs, different backgrounds, sharing the same interests. So it was really cool.
Amazing, amazing. And then you said that you wanted to buy your own gear. What did you get? Do you remember?
Yeah, I got the wrong gear first. I got the beginner setup from Indiana, the 1100P, which is very stable, very safe. So it was good to start gliding on the foil and to do the jumps and to practice how to start. But I never managed to really pump it. I got up to 4 or 5 pumps, but I think for me, the wing is just too bulky, too heavy. Like recently there was somebody at the dock and I tried, I only did like 2 tries, but I just wanted to see if I could maybe pump it now. I didn't manage.
It's a huge stabilizer as well. I saw some images on your Instagram, and the stabilizer is so huge. It's really hard to get these pitch movements, right?
Yeah.
So what happened then when you thought like, all right, I have to glide, I have these couple of pumps. You changed gear or you tried gear from someone else?
So then it was actually 2 things. So it took me quite a long time to learn how to pump foil. And I think half a year.
All right.
And it was quite a long time. I think there were people starting with me who were way faster. And then I think one game changer was that Katrin showed up and she said, Naomi, you got to change your gear. And I was able to borrow her gear at the time. And later I bought her gear. And I changed the gear and I changed the starting technique. And that really was a game changer for me. So I went from pushing the board from the dock to doing a drop start. And with the drop start, I somehow had so much more speed, and it was then possible to really get into pumping.
For those who are mainly like winging and have never dock started, can you maybe just explain from your point of view the advantages or disadvantages of these different starts?
So I think when you when you push the board, if you run and push and you're really fast and you have the speed, it's a good start. I can't really do that because it's also technical. I think once you start doing one start, you get used to it and it's difficult to do the other starts. But I think maybe it's also a bit safer to do it that way. But if you do the drop start from higher up through the jump, you get some speed. And I think the speed is key, especially if you want to pump small wings or if you get started and you need this starting speed to keep the pumping going. I think once you get better, it's a bit easier to start and lower speed. And if you do the dock start, you have to be, it takes a bit more courage because you jump from higher up. Like we were practicing in the public pool in winter when it was closed, and we were jumping from the 1 meter jumping board in the pool. Nice. On the lakeside. There's a jumping board. Yeah, it goes into the lake. Cool. Yeah. So it was maybe between 80 centimeters and a meter above the water. So we were jumping from there into the lake.
That's a perfect place because you can like put the wing under that jumping board, which is super cool. Exactly. You can have it close and it doesn't hit anything. I think as well, it really depends on your closest dock, because I think repetition is key. And if you have like a lower dock, you're not drop start. So you have to do that running start or the static start maybe, but you just go and do it over and over again. And that's really where, but I also think it's super important that you try different starts later on, because like that, you're not limited to one particular place.
Yeah.
But do you usually like, I remember Yvon, he brings his own boxes to like have a drop start because he doesn't probably do the running start too much. Do you do that as well, or you just go with whatever's there?
So I don't bring my own boxes, but for example, last week when we were on Lake Thun, I was really glad that Henry brought this box and I could start from the box, because I don't think I could have started from the lower dock. And I'm trying to like be more diverse now. Like I practiced the pushing start again, but from not a completely low dock. And I would like to learn the running start where the row on the rowing docks, because they are really low. And I think if you can do that, and then of course it would be amazing. I still have to learn the rock start, because then you're really flexible if you can do a rock start or a beach start. I'm not so flexible, but it's sort of, I think it's amazing if you can start anywhere. I was also trying to start from a boat, and I was sailing in the Mediterranean in May, and I brought my setup and I was trying to start from the boat. It had a ramp at the back, so that was also good. It was quite tricky because it was moving with the waves, and then you had to sort of see if you can time it a bit that you don't go at the wrong point when the waves are hitting the wrong way. So that was interesting as well.
Let's maybe continue with that start. You're a pump foil teacher as well. Is the drop start the start that you teach your students?
No, actually not. I'm teaching at Lake Alpnach. It's the surf station. It's mainly a wing foiling school, but they also have pump foiling courses, and they have their own private dock, which is pretty cool because you can teach without swimmers being in the way and so on. So I'm really enjoying it. And what they have is they have a specifically built dock with a sort of, how, I don't even know how it's called. It's a thing where you can put your board in and you can just jump on it, sort of a lounge.
Oh, like this dock starter, the inflatable one?
Yeah, it's similar, but it's like a mechanically built one with the feather and everything.
Nice.
So that's quite cool for people to start and just get a feeling how it is to jump on the board. So usually what we do is they do that a few times until they feel sort of comfortable how it feels to jump on the board. And then they start to push the board and jump on it themselves. So it's a bit higher than a rowing dock. So it's not a complete running start, but it's sort of a mixture.
All right. That's very nice. Do you have a picture of that like dock starter
thing?
Awesome. We can add that to the video, so whoever is listening, go on the YouTube as well, Matt on Foil, where you can see that. That is so exciting. Is it similar to the inflatable ones? Like, the board is just sitting there and you run and you jump on it.
Yeah.
Because when I first used that inflatable dock starter, it was quite difficult for me to adjust. How's it for you? Was that difficult as well, or did you like manage to go instantly?
No, it's super difficult because I jump completely different. I think it's good in the beginning just to do a few jumps, just to get the courage to jump on the board without having to hold it and so on. But then I think it's important to switch after a while, because the way you jump on the board and you put on your weight, it's completely different when you start jumping. Yeah, it's. I think you have to jump more soft forward with the launcher. And when I jump otherwise to start, it's difficult to explain, but I put too much pressure when I use the launcher and I just go straight down.
I had similar experiences. Like first, because I usually come with quite a lot of speed and power as well, but mm-hmm. I have the weight on my back foot. And mm-hmm. as soon as I feel it moving, then I move to the front. But mm-hmm. I first, because I was coming from regular dock starting as well, and mm-hmm. I put the weight on the front foot and it always just went down immediately. So I had to adjust as well.
I have the same problem. So I just tell the students, do this for a few times just so you get comfortable. And usually it's them who decide what they want to do, like how long they want to use the launcher. Some feel more comfortable going on with it, and some they switch after like 10 tries or something and start pushing it on their own. And I think it's good to switch afterwards, but it helps to sort of get over the first sort of reserves and get started.
The last time I used it for parawing dock starting, because mm-hmm. like that I didn't have to like hold the board. I could just run with the parawing in my hand, and then it was just easier, because when I used it with dock starting, I stood on the lines or the canopy and fell because of that. So that really helped for that. Have you tried that as well?
No. That sounds super cool. Now I think, I have to practice the launcher so I can try that, because that sounds super tempting.
Yeah, it is. It is really fun. The problem is where I used it in Sils, Lake Silvaplana, mm-hmm. The little bay that is there is maybe 50 to 80 meters long. So I jump on that launcher, I deploy the parawing, and I immediately have to chive because I'm at the end of the bay. So that's like the disadvantage. So if you have the little bigger Lake Alpnach, that might help a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of space on Lake Alpnach. Like,
how's the seaweed situation at Lake Alpnach?
It's not too bad. There's like close to the dock, there's a bit, but you can go around it. Like nice. I've had some seaweed if I had like a failed start or something and turned into it, but once I go out, it's no problem.
All right, you need to know where those patches are.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so if you have students, what is your goal? What do you want to reach with them? Is the goal for them to get to the minute? Is the goal for them to pump 2-3 times? Or what is usually the end goal for you as a teacher?
So I think the goal is just to give an introduction to the sport, explain what's a foil, how to get started, a bit about the material, a bit about the safety. And then it really depends on the students. Like I had some students who are just naturally very talented, who've been able to pump after free lessons or something. And that was really impressive, like especially younger students, they learn so fast. But for others, it's more like also to encourage them that it took me a long time, that if you're patient, anybody can learn it. And then I think pump foiling in general, it's not a sport that you can learn in a class. Like the class is the way I did it, like with Philip, I started and I got introduced to the sport, but then I went to the dock and practiced myself. And it's more an introduction, and also some things like what they can consider when they want to get the equipment. Like now there's a big secondhand market for beginners equipment and stuff like that, and just sort of convey the passion for the sports.
And also like safety things, what do you tell them about safety?
So I think for me, I think safety is something that I consider very important, because foiling is a dangerous sport. The foils have edges and everything, and you can get hurt. But if you're taking some precautions, I think you can be safe. So for the courses, the minimum requirements are that people are using an impact vest and they use a helmet. And I think it's also good to wear a wetsuit in the beginning, even if it's not for warmth, but just for protection, that you don't get cut or anything. And then I think what's important is to be safe for yourself. Like if you have a fall that's not controlled, I always tell the students, like, put your hand in front of your face if you feel you're falling in an uncontrolled way, because I think that's the most dangerous if some tip of the fall gets towards the eye or something. And then I think a second aspect is also how we behave when we're on the lakeside, like towards other people who are using the lake. If there's, especially in the summer, if there's a lot of swimmers or other people doing water sports, that we also consider their safety, that we talk to people. If there's divers, that we go and talk to them and ask them, where will you be diving? If we see bubbles, that we, like, it's better to wait once and be safe than to take a risk, I think.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I still want to ask you, and I actually want to ask the audience as well, because there's always the question of safety and what gear you should bring and whatnot. And for me personally, I was never injured. I never cut myself. Nothing ever happened. And when I ask around with my friends, they as well, like, yeah, you need to take care because something can happen. But to them as well, nothing ever happened. So what I want to ask the audience and also you, did anything ever happen to you personally? Not a friend of a friend who had whatever, but to you. If you have a story like that, please hit me up on Instagram and maybe share the story in maybe like a 3 to 5 minute audio or video if you can, telling me and us about what happened, so I can like mush it together in a little special podcast episode. So if anything dangerous or an accident happens with you foiling, please tell me so we can actually all learn from it. So Naomi, did something ever happen to you personally?
Yeah. Like, it was actually I had an accident foiling. I burst my eardrum and that really sucked. I was wearing a helmet, but it didn't have ear protection.
Okay.
And I think it was like on a weekend, and I've been foiling quite a bit, and I fell a few times, but you know, when you're trying stuff and you're still learning, you have some falls, but nothing really out of the ordinary. And then at some point, I was just sort of gliding when I finished the run, and I came into the water with my ear, and I just felt it like pop. And yeah, I had to take a long break, and I still have problems with my ear. So that's why I'm always wearing on my left ear that's been injured, that still has like a scarring, and it's a bit complicated. It's like probably something that's sort of now part of me that I have to deal with. But I always wear earplugs, neoprene headband, and a helmet with ear pads. Maybe it looks a bit silly, but as long as I can do the sport I love, I don't care how I look. But yeah, that kind of sucked also, because I had to take a break and I didn't know how it would turn out. First, was not sure if I need an operation or anything. Now it's sort of manageable, and yeah.
All right. So we have one firsthand. Actually, it's a second one. I think Baltz once stabbed himself with the tailwing, with the stab through his calf. But of course, he does crazy things.
Yeah, still, yeah.
That's a good story. Can I use that for this little accident mashup later on?
Sure. And all I right. Actually also had one situation where I wasn't hurt, but somebody came to the dock and asked if they can try my setup. And it was a kiter. He's a good foiler now. He started and everything. And I let him use my setup. And I was already like sort of a bit nervous, because he was doing some, like, immediately he did the dock start, like with jumping. And then another friend of ours was there, and he had an even more advanced setup. And this guy was also using this setup. And then he fell and he got a scratch here. And it wasn't anything serious. Like, it was just bleeding a lot because it's the place where you bleed a lot. But since this happened, because it could have happened in a different way, it was close to die. I don't give people who come to the doc and want to try my setup to try. I tell them to do a course where they have safety equipment and everything. So, like, before I thought, you know, it's sort of open policy and I want everybody to try. But since this happened, I'm a bit more reserved. I always try to explain why. And I think, yeah.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense. It is scary as well. And if you don't know why it is scary, then you should probably not use that thing if you're a first timer. Well, thank you already for these two stories. So you talked about like these injuries, and maybe you can just go quickly into your personal life or your work life. You're a doctor, and I tried to translate what you're a doctor for to English. I couldn't. Can you please explain me again and the audience what exactly you do?
Yeah, sure. So I'm a medical doctor and I specialize in psychiatry. So I did regular training in psychiatry, but now I work in consultation psychiatry. So it's psychiatry in the somatic hospital. And what I mainly do is consult on different wards. For example, I'm at the University Hospital in Zurich and I'm responsible for the surgical wards, for the neurological wards. So for example, people after an accident, if they have like flashbacks about the accident or something like that, we go to the ward to talk to them, see what we can do. We also have our own cases in the emergency room. But what we mainly do is we work interdisciplinary with other disciplines and we treat patients who have sort of effects from their illnesses. Also psycho-oncology and stuff like that is part of our team. But also people with underlying psychiatric conditions. For example, somebody with schizophrenia who's in the hospital and you have to see if the medication is still correct and so on. So we do that as well. So it's very niche area of psychiatry, but I really enjoy it.
That is really impressive. So you use foiling also to clear your head. I mean, I imagine those being like really heavy topics sometimes. So you can like go on the water and just think about yourself and foiling.
Yeah, I think it's really a good balance. Like, I think exercise in general, it's the best thing for mental health. It's what I tell my patients as well. So I think any type of exercise can help to feel better. But I think foiling is quite particular, especially pump foiling, because you have to focus so much. I think you did a video where there was so much noise and then you jump on the board and it's quiet. Because, yeah, it represents exactly what's happening. Like, you can't really think about much else when you're pump foiling. You're super focused.
And yeah, you need to be in the zone. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I love it.
And also, if you speak or if you look at something else, maybe the wakes of a boat or something, it's just like, ooh, I need to continue pumping.
Yeah.
So that's another level. Did any of the patients or maybe your coworkers recognize you from a video you did?
No.
Or do they know that you're pump foiling?
Well, my coworkers know because I'm such a nerd about foiling. So I'm talking about it. And also sometimes, like, if I only work half a day or something, I bring my equipment to work and then I go straight from work to the lake. And of course, with the foil, you're quite noticeable. Everybody asks, what's that? And what are you carrying around? I'm not that tall. So if I have my backpack with the foil and everything, yeah, you get noticed.
That is super cool. And before we digress a little bit, you said that you bought your gear from Catherine Colo. And when I watch on your Instagram, you have or had like a custom board where it said Splash Shepherd. Can you maybe tell us how you got, how you came up with the name, when you had that board made, what board it is, and what gear you're using now?
Yeah, I really love my board. So the Splash Shepherd, my last name is Shepherd, so that's the connection. And actually, I have a friend from sailing and he works together with Rez, who makes the boards. So he has his own board company, Cole Surf Co., and he's making custom boards. And through Daniel, who's sailing with me, I got to know Rez, because he told me, yeah, there's this guy, he's making boards and so on. He works with me at the fire brigade. And then I think the two of them, they were saying, because the sailing project I'm doing, it's for ocean research and conservation organization called KEMA. And then there's also the organization called Sea Shepherd, who's protecting whales and doing research and so on. And there's the link with my name. And they said they would do a Sea Shepherd board. And the Sea Shepherd logo is like with a skull and a shepherd's crook. And so it's a bit more dark. And I really like the organization, but I thought, yeah, it's maybe a bit much to have the skull on the board and also copyright and so on. So I did an adapted version called Splash Shepherd, and my brother did the logo for me. It has an orca on it because I love orcas, and that's how it came about. Sort of just playing around, being nerdy, and yeah.
That is so cool. Plus, the splashing is a big part of dock starting, especially beginning. But still, it's a lot of splash.
Yeah.
What gear are you using currently, except for the board, of course?
Yeah, so I still have the custom board by Rez, and then I'm now a team rider at Surfside. It's a shop close to Lucerne in Epicon, and there's like a foiling community on Lake Thun, and my parents live close to Lake Thun, so I was foiling there as well, and I got introduced to the brand North, and I really liked it, and they have North, so I switched to North. And right now I'm using a North setup. Well, actually, I use the front wing as a downwind front wing. It's the 1400 downwind. And then it's the North 600 fuselage. The stab is 142. And then I have an 80 centimeter carbon mast. And I really love this setup. I just got another smaller wing, 1100. And now I have two front wings and I'm playing around with both. So
that is so cool.
Yeah, I love it.
And you bring both all the time, or are you just generally bringing one?
So I've only had it for 1 week. So at the moment I'm bringing both. So I don't know how it will develop. The smaller one is a bit more difficult to start and takes a bit more energy. But my goal is to be able to surf the wake of the passenger ship. So I hope that it's easier with the smaller front wing. And the bigger front wing is such a cool wing because it has so much lift. And I get like easily high on the mast. Yeah. So I enjoy both of them at the moment. I take both.
All right. That is super cool. I just think if I look back at my dock starting like beginning, like my first goal was to go out and like come back to the dock. Then it was the minutes. Then I tried to go as long as possible. Now the wakes start to be a thing. What was your progression, and what are you currently focusing on?
So I think in the beginning it was just my goal to get started and do a few pumps. And I was already super happy once I got to do 10 pumps. I was super excited that worked. And then for a long time, I was just going straight out into lake, crashed, swam back. And then it was my goal to learn the curves, to get back and not swim as much. Then it was the minute. And I think now it's sort of different goals. Like, one hand, I would like to learn how to surf the wakes from the passenger ships, because I think it looks amazing. Like, right now, I try to get into them and I can feel it a bit, but usually I crash. But already having the feeling like being lifted by the waves and so on, it's such a cool feeling. It's so much fun. And then it's sort of a completely different goal. It's also long distance pumping, because I'm also a runner. And I also did a few marathons, and I also like endurance sports. And I think if I could do this in pump foiling as well, it would be amazing. But yeah, I don't know if I have to like improve my technique or if it needs another wing, probably both. But yeah.
Like, that is very interesting, because like this endurance thing, I think it's kind of a hype at least here in around Lake Thun. The last episode was Hilti, Hilti Insta, who pumped around Lake Brienz and Lake Thun. So that's a big thing. And actually, I'm trying to do that as well, getting more into long distance. And my problem is that first, you need a big front wing. But then again, you need the technique, because I have the Barracuda XL. Mm-hmm. And well, I wasn't really super healthy last time I tried it, but like after 10 minutes, I got tired already, and I should be able to go further because I did an Ironman, I did marathons as well. It's like I would have the endurance, but I just lacked the technique. Also, mm-hmm. with the beta foil, I have a beta foil at the moment, and there again, I don't have the technique because I go get slower on the mast all the time. I have a too high of a cadence. My heart rate is through the roof, so I really need to adjust the technique. I remember Nicola Eaton, he said, yeah, you need to practice with out the staff to just feel the front wing a little more. So I'm probably have to do that a little more. But okay. Yeah, it's really difficult.
Yeah, but I think it's so cool that different people are getting into this, and then you can also learn from each other. And it's something I really wanna like progress with. And right now, like in the summer when we wear like thinner wetsuits or no wetsuit, and also the water is less dense, I think it already feels easier. So I feel like if I can't do it now, I won't be able to do it in the winter.
Yeah, the wetsuit adds like, or it takes maybe 30% of the time, I'm sure. Yeah. And if you know how to go without a wetsuit in winter, even, because Nicola, I remember he has a very thin wetsuit. Mm-hmm. But then I think you're even more nervous on the start, because if you fail that start, you're going to be cold for a while. So
yeah,
it's also with the boat wake. I mean, I usually get my starts. I would say 90% or even 95% of the start I can do. But if the boat is coming or just passing, then it's maybe 50-50. It's terrible.
Yeah. And it's always the thing, do you start earlier so you get a second try, or do you start at the perfect time? And then if you mess it up, it's just one chance. So
it's terrible. are you wing foiling as well? I remember last time you said that you started to wing foil as well. Maybe the pair wing is a thing. Have you tried the paddle? What else are you foiling on?
So actually on Lake Alpnach at the surf station, since I'm teaching the pump foil classes, I also get to wing foil there, which is really cool. I'm still a very beginner in learning, but it's my goal to get into wing foiling more. I tried a few times to paddle, like just like two or three times, failed miserably.
Yeah, I know that.
But actually, now that you addressed the paddle, my really long-term goal is to get into downwind foiling, because I think it looks so amazing. Like if you can just paddle up and connect the waves or with the power wing or something. I think it's way above my level at this point, but it's really my long-term goal.
I think the easiest start is just go with the wing and then just like bear off. Or yeah. I don't know if you can, at Lake Alpnach, not sure, but if you can start somewhere in the harbor and then get out in the bumps. Mm-hmm. I tried that in Roll at Lake Geneva. Yvon helped me out with the location. That was really cool. Like pumping out, getting in the first waves. If you fall, you swim back, you walk back up. That's really cool. Plus the pumping with the small setup is so much more comfortable than with a big board or a bigger board, and you don't have anything in your hands. So that's really cool. I think for downwinding, like first downwind tries, it's a really good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think step by step is, I think the goal for this year is to improve a bit more with wing foiling. I'm also doing sort of a project. It's called Sail and Foil. So we will go on a sailing boat and also go foiling in Sardinia for a week. So
with you?
No. Oh. I organized it together with Rez.
Oh, okay.
And we're a group of people who are going together.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
So do you have the license as well, like the sailing license?
Yes.
Oh, very nice. Because I have it too. And I asked Jo if he needs some help and say, well, maybe I need another skipper because he has a lot of people who want to join. So that would be something I'm very interested in as well. Like, you go to the best places and just surf around. And that's amazing.
Yeah.
Naomi, is there anything else? Like, you have a session planned today. What's next with your foiling?
So yeah, I think after this, so today I have a day off. And right now with the new front wing that I got, I'm really excited to go and try it again. So I think I will go foiling this afternoon.
But you're going to bring both wings?
Yes.
Or just one?
I think I'll bring both.
That is, because when I usually, I still need to, because I have the Barracuda L, like a 1,000 span and surface, but mm-hmm. I always bring the bigger one as well. And I think for me, that's a mistake, because sometimes I try a little bit with a smaller one, but then I change to the bigger one. And it's like a cheat. If I were only bringing the smaller one, I would continue with that until I got it. And for me, I think it's better if I were only to bring the small one, so I can really like get into it and fail again, how it usually works.
So I think for today, I was thinking I wanna like do a few starts with the bigger one to see if I can go a bit farther, because now I had a few days break because I was working. And I think now my legs are sort of fresh, because if I go several days after each other, then you're not as rested and you can really feel it. So I want to challenge myself how far I can go today. And then I also want to practice with the small one.
Nice. But, and are you gonna share that on your Instagram? Like your distance?
Yeah, maybe if it goes well.
For all the listeners, viewers, maybe you can repeat your Insta handle so they can follow you.
Yes. So it's MS_Miss_Splash_Shepherd. Yeah.
All right. There's different spellings. You see a lot of cool
Shepherd,
things here.
Right? It's easy to find.
It's super cool. We're going to share your handle also in the show notes and on screen so people can follow. The next episode, Naomi, is going to be with Prof. EPS. I don't know if you've heard from him. He's the guy who started maybe 2 months ago. Have you seen him?
Yeah.
Like this guy who said, I want to start pump falling, and in 1 year I want to like be at a competition. And he starts with nothing, and he's pretty good already. Have you followed him as well?
Yeah, I follow him on Instagram, and I've seen a few clips, and he's progressing super fast. It's very impressive.
Yeah. And we're gonna have him on next week. So we have like on with very short distance to see how he improved, because my beginnings were over 1.5 years ago now, and I don't really remember, but for him it's still fresh, and maybe for new beginners he can give some inputs on what you have to do to progress as he does. Is competition something you're doing as well, or you're planning on doing as well? Because there are not many women in pump fall competition.
Yeah, so it's sort of a question if you want to do competitions or not. I think if there was a competition on Lake Zurich, I would maybe just join for fun. Katrin, who's also has her home spot here, she's going to many competitions, and she really has the mission to sort of make women more visible in competitions. And I think that's really cool. That's great that she's doing that. But I thought for myself, like, I'm working quite a lot and the time on the water is quite limited. So if I have a day off, I really want to have as much time underwater just to be underwater. And I think with these competitions, sometimes you're standing around, you're waiting. It's of course cool because you get to meet people and everything. And I'm sure it's a super fun vibe. But it's sort of the basic decision. Do I want to use my time for actual foiling? Or do I want to go to competitions? And then also if they're further away, it's for me, it's also a bit of a environmental question. If I want to fly to a competition for a weekend, that's not something I personally really want to do. If it's somewhere close I can go to by train, it's something different. But I haven't been in competitions.
All right, because we talked with Gregor Müller. He organizes the Big Wave Swiss Tour. Mm-hmm. Like pump falling tour. And I think the next one, let me just double check, is from the 6th to the 7th of September in Vignels Lake Biel. I was there last year. It was really a cool competition, not only because it's amazing to see these freestylers and the speed of the young guns, but it's also like a super atmosphere. You can try different gear. There's a lot of places to actually start. Even though the competition is running, you could also go pump fall yourself. A little to the side, which is super cool. And yeah, I always like trying different gear, because I think it, for the senses, it's good to feel something different. So yeah. I highly suggest, or I hope that you can go to a competition, because last time there were not a lot of women, and I still think it's important to, as Catherine said, to show women in that sport.
Yeah. So I didn't even know that there was one in Switzerland. So I'll consider.
I'm going to share the link again. I'm going to send you the link as well. The tour is online. I think Wingels is the last competition this year, but there was one in Murten. There was a lakeside opening in Thun, Silvaplana, obviously, Saint-Blaise, the surf party in Saint-Blaise. There were a couple of competitions. Even if you come and don't take part in the competition, it's really a super good vibe. Rico's there with his van, like surfy, music, commentary. It's really cool thing. So that would be super cool. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be there. I'm going to be on vacation. I'm going to do a second pairwing comparison video. I did the first one at Lake Silvaplana this summer. And I have six different brands for the second one. So if people are interested in different pairwings, make sure to follow on YouTube. Is there anything, Naomi, because I think we're going to wrap it up. Anything else you want to tell the world about foiling or anything in general?
I think it's just important to know that anybody can learn how to foil, pump foil. You need a bit of patience, but it's so much fun. It's so rewarding. It's a super cool sport. I'm really grateful that I discovered it. And there's nothing much to add.
Thank you very much. Perfect. Let's do that. Thank you very much, Naomi, for taking your time out of your day and your session, shortening your session to talk to me, to talk to the world. That is amazing. I wish you a very good session and hope to see you on the water soon.
Yeah, I hope we see each other soon, maybe on Lake Thun. It's really beautiful, or some other lake here in Switzerland.
Perfect. All right. Thanks, Naomi. Thanks for all the viewers, the listeners. Like, share, subscribe, whatever. And see you guys in the next one. Bye-bye.
Bye.